And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms and restrictions apply.
This is The Athletic Baseball Show on the Athletic Podcast Network.
And that is hammered! Oh, my!
Man, that ball got out of here in a hurry. You know, anything travels that far, I'd have a damn stewardess on it, don't you think?
High drive! Left field!
This is a simple game. You throw the ball, you hit the ball, you catch the ball. You got it?
You're listening to The Roundtable with Grant Brisby, Andy McCullough, and Mark Carrig on the Athletic Podcast Network.
Welcome to episode number 78 of The Roundtable. This is an emergency episode, fellas. I think this is our first emergency pod. I'm Grant Brisby here with Andy McCullough and Mark Carrig. Andy, how you doing?
Yeah, we had to talk Joe Kelly. I mean, he's back. He's back.
Hedges to the Guardians, $4 million. Let's hear it.
Yeah, they signed some guy named Ben Lively today. Good for Ben. All right. Yeah.
I think he's like a former first round pick. Am I making this up? Phillies?
You could easily be.
Mark, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm fine. I'm fine. Just enjoying this just, wonderful week in baseball.
Just to be clear, Ben Lively is a former fourth round pick by the Reds.
Close.
I shot my shot.
Close.
Stay I shot my hot, shot. Man.
But you see, the way he delivered it, though, I was like, oh, yeah, obvious.
Yeah. Oh, duh. Yeah. Everyone remembers the Lively draft of 2015. We all had takes on that. That was the Trout Cabrera of its time.
Thanks for blowing my cover.
That's so funny.
All right, so we'll get to the big news, okay? Big news, I'm going to have space in the press box at Oracle Park whenever I want it. Whenever I want it, baby. There's not going to be like a bunch of Japanese reporters just spilling out all over the place. No, I just walk in, get my coffee. I love it. I love Ohtani and the Dodgers.
The good news is for Giants fans, there's going to be a lot of space in the seats, too, to stretch out and, hang out with their imaginary friends and all that sort of stuff.
You don't think Cody Bellinger moves the needle?
No, I guess, amazingly, we're going to open with the Giants. I still think there's plenty of time for the Giants to have a good offseason. And as we all know, winning the offseason means very little. But, yeah, I mean, if you're talking about selling tickets and generating buzz and changing the narrative in San Francisco. No, Matt Chapman's not going to do that.
You know what, though? I did some research for this podcast, and did you know that Shohei Ohtani just had Tommy John surgery? Can't even pitch. Can't even pitch next year. Yeah, no one needs that guy. Good luck, Dodgers.
Eric Steven made a pretty good point on Twitter where he's like, a lot of people are saying like, well, yeah, he's not even going to pitch next year, as if only getting the 1,000 OPS is not a bad deal.
He's so good.
And considering Ohtani is like paying the Dodgers to play for him or something, like it's a great deal. How about that?
That is wild. That is
1,000 OPS for free. I mean, how do you beat that?
$2 million a year, the rest deferred. I'm making more than Ohtani now with my new contract with The Athletic. It's amazing.
He's making less per year than the Royals had in those options for Salvador Perez that made them so bad that they gave him a new deal.
Yeah. I get it. And yet it's still like it's legal. It's not unethical. It's just kind of annoying, right?
All right, here's my official stance on the deferrals.
Okay.
My official stance, you can't make me care. However, for the sake of the pod, I'll say this. I think it's a very good insight, more insight into Ohtani than anything he said in quite some time. in that, yes, right, he does want to win, clearly, right? Like, this is a thing that you do if you want to win, right? You don't want to cripple your team's CBT. You don't want to have, you know, you don't want to have them 6 years down the road when maybe, you know, wherever he's at in his career, they're unable to do, they don't have the payroll flexibility, all that sort of stuff. However, it also fits into another thing that is pretty clear and is important to Otani's character, is that he wants to do things that have never been done before. Mm. This is a guy, Dylan Hernandez from the LA Times has made this point a lot, but this is someone who's a bit of a contrarian. This is someone who has his whole career done things that people said he couldn't do. When he first debuted in Japan, they told him, you can't do this, right? And when he first came over here, he was told, you can't do this. And when he got the first Tommy John, he was told, you got to pick. You got to choose one. And he just keeps saying, no, I am going to do things that have never been done before. So having the largest contract in baseball history fits into his sort of record of historic achievements, like qualifying for the ERA title while hitting 35 homers, like what he very clearly this year was set out to try and break Judge's record and would have had a good shot before, you know, getting hurt. And so it's insightful both in that, yes, it backs up his rhetoric of wanting to win, and it also fits into the bucket of, like, you know, he can always say that he has the $700 million contract, the biggest of all time, even if, you know, the way to get there was to take $460 million and turn it into $700. I really would like him to do my taxes actually moving forward.
You forgot about one other first. Finally, the Dodgers have a star. Like, he's just gone where no one else has gone before.
Well, I mean, another first. That's $700 million on the MasterCard. Like, that's great, yeah, right? Like, I mean, that's essentially what it is like the Dodgers have a really cool credit card, which is what you would mm-hmm. expect. That they're pulling out that black card, yeah, or whatever. I mean, and that's what they did. So
they're getting so many miles.
Yeah, getting hella miles. All right, like, they got access to the lounge, right? Like, I mean, all the good stuff is great.
If I remember correctly, like, at some point in the next 3 years or something, they have to set that money aside, right? Like, in a trust or something. It's got to be there. Like, it just, all of a sudden the water wars happen, baseball folds, and yeah, and rubble. No, that money's got to be there.
Well, as you know, former Dodgers third baseman Justin Turner pointed out on Twitter, sounds like a problem for the next ownership group.
Exactly. And that's, you know, exactly what it is.
And I got to say, like, I sent some messages around to folks in the Dodgers front office kind of after Otani broke his own deal and didn't hear back for several days. And I thought it was because I haven't built up the credibility to have good working relationships. But what I have since discovered is they were just recovering from the fainting spells they had when they found out Otani was willing to defer the money. Because this is something that the Dodgers have been pitching to big ticket free agents for years. Like, they had the $300 million offer to Gerrit Cole when he was a free agent. There was a good portion of it was going to be deferred. Mookie Betts's deal has some deferments in it. This has been like the thing that they have been trying to do. So for Otani to come in the door and be like, yeah, I mean, you can just defer it until I'm 70 years old. They were just thrilled.
Yeah. It's wild. It is wild. And yeah, I don't know. I don't know, man. So the Dodgers probably aren't done yet. They need pitching. They've got a bunch of second year players. You got Walker Buehler, who he should be fine, but he had a rocky return from Tommy John last year. They need pitching, and I guess they'll get it now. Great. That's great.
Yeah. Yeah. Good. No, it's all working out great for you, Grant. And we'll talk about your props moving forward. But
my fridge is out. You ever have a fridge out?
Oh, that's bad.
Yeah, you need like a fridge to eat. Yeah. Like, I'm tired of takeout. Anyways.
Yeah. Well, also all your food goes bad too.
Yeah, it's all gone. Like, all the farmer's dog that I got for free for reading podcast ads, all the Omaha steaks that I got for free from reading podcast ads.
Does hit Roman up sales expire?
Because what's that?
Does Roman expire?
Oh no, man.
Asking for a friend.
Yeah, no. That stuff's good. Good to go.
Yeah. Speaking of upgrades, yeah, the Dodgers, you know, they could get like Tyler Glasnow still. They could get Dylan Cease still. They're in on Yamamoto. I'm going to bet against that, you know, based on the Yankee and Met interest. It's kind of hard. You know, one of the things that Ken Rosenthal and I have talked a lot about is just the ideas of the Dodgers. Like, the one, and maybe we can get into like how obvious this looks now, right? That he was going to go to the Dodgers. And, yeah. and you asked us, I think, before the winter meetings, like, where is he going to sign? And Mark was like, the Dodgers, you idiot. And I was like, yeah, the Texas Rangers. Because, you know. And I think we just – and it's another thing about Ohtani is that he very rarely does what's expected of him. Yeah. He very rarely does the thing that, like, on the surface, you know, you can, like, predict. And so for him to do something so predictable is actually in somewhat – like unpredictable, I guess.
Yeah.
Anyway, what were we talking about? Oh, yeah. Well,
it felt
they're not going to get Yamamoto.
It felt like Aaron Judge last year, where when the dust settled, it's like, yeah, that's where right. he was going to go back. It just took a little circuitous route to get there. But honestly, back to Yamamoto. If I'm Yamamoto, and this is like all I got left, so please don't squash this. if I'm him, what team would you want to go to if you have a competitive, fiery spirit? You would say, oh,
like
he's on the Dodgers? Well, let me go to the rival, and like right. that can be, yep. you know, for the next 10 years, just we can butt heads. It'll be great for the sport.
No, this is
don't sweat.
No,
don't.
Go to FanGraphs right now. Go to the Dodgers depth chart and go pull up the rotation. There's plenty of competition to be had there. You know, like, take a look.
No,
take a look. All right.
I'm saying, like, he plenty wants to go head to head.
If he really wants to compete, plenty of opportunities to do so in that rotation right
he
now.
He wants to compete with Michael Grove.
You know what I'm saying? Take a look.
Yeah. No, I'm not saying compete in general. Just like he wants to be the face of, like, the anti Ohtani, not because
he
disrespects
him.
He
can go be
him.
The face of the Dodger rotation.
Don't do this to me, Mark.
Grant, I think you're safe because I suspect he will be playing in New York next year. Can't say which franchise yet. Although the Yankees are feeling like the Yankees again. They're Yankeeing up. You know, they sort of shimmied a little bit and
little froggy.
They're feeling a little squirrely. Yeah, yeah.
shimmy, didn't they?
Yeah, they shimmied a little bit and traded. You know, like five sort of. Maybe someday number four starters for
they do a lot
for Juan Soto.
They do that. Which, they play that card a lot, actually, when you think about it. So yeah, I love it because when you squint and look at Hal, you can kind of see his dad. You know, you got to squint a little bit.
I said squint. Yeah, it's more like in selective years. He's Hal, and then like once every like 11 years, he's like, "Damn it, I'm a Steinbrenner."
He's right.
I mean,
he's
it's true, right? It's like it's the year. You know, obviously, the winter of 2008 comes to mind. The winter of 2013 comes to mind. Uh-huh. You know, where they splurged on Ellsbury and Beltran and Tanaka, and yeah, it's kind of like. You know, you hold the line. And it's like, you know what? Damn it. Let's unload the depth arsenal we've got for 1 year of Soto and bank on Soto loving it here, hitting 50 bombs. And then we have the money to give him, you know, $400 million this offseason.
Right. There you go. We're closer to five. But yes, you know, like that. That's exactly right.
You want to know who's not going to get deferred money in his contract?
Yes, Scott Boras client Juan Soto.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's a not man who will be getting his paychecks on time
up front, waiting at his locker. Yeah. You know, like
bless
that.
It.
God bless him.
What are people in the Bay Area most upset about with regard to the Dodgers traffic. And Ohtani?
Life, everything, baseball, the owner. Just they're pissed off. It is just an irie. Mad, it's a nasty bunch of piranhas. These fans, they want action, and if they don't get Yamamoto, like it's weird. The reigning NL Cy Young winner won't do it for them,
huh?
Right? You know, Blake Snell, they'll be like, oh yeah, great, Blake Snell, awesome. It's got to be Yamamoto right now, and if it's not, they're gonna freak out.
Why do they keep attaching their hopes to players who are unlikely to come there?
Yeah. Right. See, with Judge, it was the perfect storm. Like, the dude came into the league and he said, I want Rich Aurelia's number because that's my idol. You know, he grew up a Giants fan. So you had that at least, you know, plausibility in the back of your mind. And you thought, maybe he wants to play it. Maybe he wants to come home. Maybe, of course, now we're morons. But with Ohtani, I don't know, man. I didn't think it was ever going to happen. I wrote as much, but it's cute to think about because he's so different and generational. You kind of, you kind of just think no one thought Bonds was coming to the Giants. That was a, they were gone. They were in Florida. And then all of a sudden you've got Barry Bonds and he's there and it's great for a decade plus. So you have that little bit of hope, little bit of Kevin Durant. Hey, that actually worked and he came to the Warriors hope.
Yeah. I mean, the Bonds was in 1992.
Uh-huh. It's been a minute. It's been a minute. They did nail Barry Zito. They got Aaron Rowan. Like sometimes they get their guy, but it's been a minute.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just I guess we talked a little bit about it however many weeks ago. Like the Giants made sense for Otani in the sense that he might pick him, you know. And it turns out he just did the thing that made the most sense, which, you know.
I think I'm going to choose my words carefully. I think he did the cowardly thing. Joining the Dodgers. Ooh, Kevin Durant to the Warriors kind of nonsense. Come on, man.
Oh, my God. This was so worth it, Andy. Yeah. Oh, man. He slacked the other day. He's like, guys, we got to do an emergency pod. I'm like, really? I'm like, no, we got to do it. Okay. Here we are. You were right. It was totally worth it.
Grant is spicy. He's going to be complaining about this.
Spicy
for the rest of his ball writing career, for however many months are left on his contract.
For the next couple months, that's all I'm gonna be complaining about.
He sounds like the dude whose belongings are still at Otani's place and he can't figure out how to get him back, right? he's so mad about it. Oh no, terrible.
I'm actually not that, like, listen, I'm dead inside. I'm a professional journalist, I care about stories.
You're right.
I care about stories, baby.
Yeah, you didn't want to write about Otani at all. Yeah,
No, not at all.
You didn't want to cover that. You couldn't have had some fun with that. Transcendent two-way player.
No, yeah, that seems like a lot of work.
He's perfect for you. He doesn't give interviews.
Exactly.
dream player.
Dude, Grant was online talking about, oh man, I didn't want to go down to the clubhouse to talk to him anyway. You want to do that if he plays there or not? I mean, like, well, that's irrelevant. Then he's like, oh, Reese Hoskinson come here and do that. Wait, is Reese Hoskins gonna play in your living room? Like, you're not interviewing him either.
Yeah,
but you're gonna write long, which is great. By the way, good column. In the aftermath, for real, like, this is a dead serious comment. Like,
which one?
Like your do's and don'ts for the Giants.
That was
a good one. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you. It's
you should read it if you guys haven't. It's pretty good.
It matches. Like, it's Giants fans should be bitter. At the same time, that's all I got.
I feel bad for him. My brother, because he's a bitter A's fan. is like the first to all of the anti-Giants memes that appear on the internet, and like he just sent me a slew of them this weekend, and I actually forwarded one to you because it was this like circle, like this cycle of frustration and this like very pained white person in the middle of it, and like I was like, dang, that's Brisby, that's perfect. This is exactly it. So anyway, I feel bad. I do feel bad for him. Like, I think, you know, we keep coming back to when Bonds came. I feel like there's a lot of parallels. You know, this is also like team almost left, right? Yeah. So there's those feelings, and the new ownership group comes in. They're local, and this is how they make a gigantic splash. So, like, and, you know, it's not exactly the same, but the idea applies where, you know, there are certain feelings about the franchise that were very strong, that when Barry Bonds showed up, almost was this cleansing effect. And then you saw what happened to, you know, they were making the playoffs pretty consistently. Like, they were fun, interesting teams. Like, it kind of brought people back. And it feels like, again, I don't think it's that extreme in this moment, right? But I think there's a lot of those vibes for sure. And I think the frustration certainly at that point with the fan base.
Yeah, in all seriousness, like, there was a malaise, right? And so you get Bonds, they're gone. And then all of a sudden, you've got just fun, happy baseball times for a long, long time. Right now, the Giants are struggling because no one works in San Francisco anymore, right? The offices are gone. They're there, and they're definitely not housing people, but there's no one going to work and kicking off early and heading down to the ballpark like they used to. They're in a little bit of trouble as far as interest. You've got Steph Curry and the Warriors are still doing their thing. Brock Purdy, again, first ballot Hall of Famer, doing his thing. Just the best football player I've ever seen. He's got like a gentle face, but eyes of a killer. Just an arm, a really accurate arm on the deep ball. His mechanic, it's like when you see him set, his base is so... Anyways... But, you know, you got to compete with that. And it's, I don't know. I don't see how they get out of it without like Marco Luciano just becoming like a beast. Or
well, that's
Bryce,
the
Bryce Eldridge. Like, that's what's got to happen. Their own Lincecum.
Yeah, that's the thing, right? Is how did they, you know, how did they build the dynasty in the first place? Like, it wasn't shock and awe spending. It wasn't, you know, doing stuff in free agency. They supplemented in free agency, but, you know, it was Lincecum. It was Posey. It was Crawford. It was Belt. You know, it was all these homegrown players. And so, like, I feel like we all know, you know, we don't like to talk about it because obviously, as you guys know, we're the only pro-labor podcast. But, like, building in free agency is dumb.
No,
like it's not how you build a winning club. You know, we'll pretend that Texas Rangers didn't happen this past year. That we all know that you know, it only hurts our arguments. But like we all know, right? That like building through free agency is probably not the best way to build a sustainable winner. And I would suspect that Farhan Zaidi and those in his front office are aware of this as well. It's why we keep talking about they're going to have to do something that they know is kind of crazy, right? You know, they know is probably less, more likely to flame out than just drafting and developing well. But here's the thing. They haven't drafted and developed well yet at a way that they can present it at the big league level. And yep, that's the problem, you know?
100%. That is the problem with the Giants. It's not that they, because they've had successful free agents. Not last year was a turd sandwich, but with Kevin Gausman and yeah, Anthony Desclafani the first time, and Carlos Rodon, like
Alex Cobb, yeah, they've hit.
Yeah, they've brought in some guys who have worked, but they didn't. They've always had to scrabble and like, okay, they hit on Mike Yastrzemski, but then all of a sudden you look up and you're playing all these platoons because you don't have those guys coming up from the system. They were left with a farm system of interesting teenagers, and now it's starting to bear fruit a little bit, but they whiffed on a couple of high draft picks that sure didn't help. That's what's got to happen. It's got to be the youngsters. So any ideas?
You know what they should have done?
Resource them.
They should have offered to defer Ohtani $800 million until 2050. Did they consider that?
Honestly, like, so let's take this from the Blue Jays perspective. If you're a Blue Jays fan, do you really think that the Blue Jays could have heard about this deal and gone, well, actually, we will defer $800 million?
We were trying to sway the guy and we took him to Dunedin.
Yeah. So
what are we doing?
Oh my gosh. But like, honestly, do you think the Blue Jays could have done anything, or that they sort of just backed their way into this number because he wanted to go there and they said, okay, we'll make it work?
We don't know. Well, we just don't know yet, because they did keep the lid pretty tight on all of this. And Ohtani still hasn't explained, you know, still hasn't spoken about this. I think from, again, 30,000 feet, seems pretty clear. The guy wanted to be a Dodger. The guy wanted the biggest contract ever. Okay, how do we do that? You know, how do we do that in a way that's palatable to the Dodgers, who we know have a ton of money and also, you know, don't like do insane things in terms of spending, right? So you take $460 million and you stretch it into $700. That's a theoretical way. I think the Blue Jays were like real. I mean, Ohtani doesn't seem like the sort of person who likes to waste time, you know, so I don't think he would have flown, you know, across the country to Dunedin and, you know, gone and looked at the facility and met with people there just like on a whim. I assume there was real, you know.
Wasting the Giants' time.
Well, I mean, I don't think, like, I think it was real, but I think Rosenthal and I were talking about this the other day. Like, none of those teams make sense. If the guy wants to win, if the guy wants to, you know, sort of do like make history in the postseason, like if he's on the Blue Jays, are the Blue Jays the pick to win the division next year? Like, maybe, but
yeah,
I don't think so. I don't think that's enough to say that they're better than Baltimore, that they're better than Tampa Bay, that they're better than even with the Yankees. Like,
it's a crazy competitive
division. If you put him on the Giants, are they better than the Dodgers next year? No. Okay. You put him on the Dodgers, he's in a lineup where he bats with Freddie Freeman and Mookie Betts. Mm-hmm. And as like the fourth hitter, it's Will Smith and his 850 OPS. And,
amazing.
You know, it's different. You know, it's different. And it makes, if he wanted to be, you know, stay on the West Coast, if he wants to play in October, the route to do that is join the Los Angeles Dodgers, because they're there every year.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. you can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
You know what I'd never want to hear again is the idea that a Japanese player wants to be on the West Coast because it's closer to Japan. Like he's popping over there on his days off. Like, you know, he's getting takeout and like, I'll be right back. That's just the dumbest crap. Like if you're on a plane to Japan, you're in it for a while anyway. Well, those extra 6 hours, whatever, to just stack
you're
them up.
So mad.
Oh, I know. Isn't LA actually closer to Japan?
He's besmirching an entire country. He's so mad about that.
Yeah, he's
I just
so
that idea that people like, oh man, like, yeah, it's like playing in LA is so much better as far as logistics than playing in Chicago. It's like, no, it's not.
Well,
it's
Los Angeles is also a much better city than all of those places, but anyway.
Defending the honor of certain cities, like I know Andy was joking about, hey, let's recruit this guy, let's send his ass to Dunedin.
Right? But like, him to the tilted kilt in Dunedin.
Right. But in fairness, you know, the Blue Jays did pour a lot of money into their facility there.
Oh, yeah, it's
like it's really nice.
Very
and,
nice.
And so if you are trying to entice somebody and show them how serious you are about trying to put a winning program together, you know, what they've done down there is not a bad place to start. But yeah, right. Andy brings up a great point, right? Like it didn't make sense in a lot of ways, like because he doesn't alter their trajectory in the same way that he would alter the Dodgers' trajectory, which now, like if you're the Atlanta Braves, right, are looking at this going, oh, geez,
yeah.
You know, like, I mean, right. Like, so the Dodgers are deferring all that money. The Braves have perfected the art of the team friendly deal. Right. Like, so it's, oh my God. Hi.
Yeah. Okay. This is a little much, dog.
What's your dog's name?
This is Piper.
Piper looks so distinguished. Pepper. Oh my goodness.
You know, my daughter's best friend is scared of her because she thinks it's like, she's a little bit too human. Like a little bit too uncanny valley when she stares, like stare into the camera. Look at
oh
that.
My God.
Yeah, it's just a little bit of she's like most humans in that she's ignoring you.
Yeah, yeah, Piper is pissed about Otani.
Piper looks like he's missing her pocket watch because like that's how distinguished that dog looks. Anyway, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's great podcast because they can't even see the dog. It's
they can see it on YouTube.
We're trying to build our YouTube audience. Yeah. You know, so it's not just clips of me, you know, eating hot chicken and then Grant taking pictures of me looking like I just stocked up on Roman while eating moon pies.
That's right.
Moon pies.
That's real life. Last week you ate hot chicken and chased it with moon pies.
I did. Yeah. Yeah. All for work.
All for work. Boy, way to take one for the team, Andy. That'll go in the next review.
Yeah.
That's a five for me.
What were we talking about? Otani? Yeah. I don't know. Again, like, we're still sort of waiting to hear some of the explanation for the thought process. It would make sense for him to go to Dunedin based on the fact that, look, the guy's interests are baseball, and also baseball. So he probably would want to see a spring training facility he's never visited before, especially if it's as nice as the one there. But, you know, I think we all learned that Dave Roberts made a grievous error in admitting the truth. And that entire news cycle wasn't the dumbest thing imaginable. fans screamed at all of us for saying, actually, this isn't a big deal that this guy just told the truth.
It was a reverse test. Like, it wasn't a test to see who could be quiet. It was a test. Who has the moxie to come out and speak his mind? It was that guy's Otani, him and his camp thinking seven different chess moves ahead.
Yep.
Dude, you know what's amazing? Like Andy just said that I was the dumbest news cycle of this. There's like a lot of competition for that title, actually. Yeah. Right? Like you could fill the podium with like worthy candidates for dumbest Otani news cycle, right? Because I'm thinking, like, if you haven't read it yet, Stephen Nesbitt today got the fella that was on the private plane that wasn't Shohei Otani. And it is so funny and illustrative of what I think was the dumbest news cycle of this process, was tracking this flight that people were taking wild guesses as to, like, you know, who was on it and blah, blah, blah. Just ridiculous. Anyway, good piece, really well written, worth your time. It'll give you a laugh and it will illustrate to you just how dumb all of this can be sometimes.
The sushi restaurant.
The sushi restaurant. Yeah. Someone had a tweet about, you know, Yusei Kikuchi surrounded by just like thousands of pounds of fish. No one has come. They're all confused. He's alone. That was you.
Yeah. It was a good tweet.
Wow. You still got it, Grant.
I still got the fastball.
You know what? I want to read a review that I read of this podcast because I don't think it's accurate. Whoever thought putting Andy McCullough in any talking role, in parentheses, probably Andy himself, needs a long period of self-reflection. He is dreadful. One of the most self-important, Grant, irritating, Grant, mean-spirited, okay, and misinformed baseball voices anywhere, Grant. Anyone who entirely spoils a podcast with the always excellent Grant Brisby needs to stay away from the mic and back to writing. Stop writing these reviews.
Man, I can't even come up with something that good and accurate. I think homeboy there just nailed it.
Got
it, man.
I like to read our reviews because they usually cheer me up, but then there's one that's just like, you know who I hate?
Yeah, well, at least you're showing them that you're not self-important by bringing this up.
Brian. Damn, owned. Absolutely. Dude,
like our reviews are so polarized.
Man, I wonder why.
It's like crazy. I don't think we're hateable. Like it might not be your speed, but like I don't know, man. It's either round table head for life, right? Or die tomorrow, all three of you. Like it's one of the two.
Yeah, right? I mean, again, could you imagine a normal person listening to this show?
No, I can't. Yeah. I can't. You know what was disturbing? And I guess it just tells you how unnormal some of the baseball folks are. There are front offices that still listen to this.
I know. Yeah.
Like I heard that in Nashville. Did you not?
Yeah. No, I talked to several roundtable heads. They come out in the wild and they're like, hey, I'm a roundtable head.
You know, like you don't know.
I'm worried about your clients. You're an agent.
Dude, they're walking around in their khakis and quarter zips, and you have no idea that is a roundtable hat. You know what I mean? It's like team-branded khakis, and like they're walking around with their coffee, looking all important. Hey, like open for business. Open for business. You know what I mean? And like they're roundtable heads. It's amazing.
It's like Succession, where it opens and he's like rapping in his limo. You know, you don't know who's like just like a hardcore rap head by the suits that they wear.
Grant, I think that scene was supposed to be ironic.
Oh, no, I know. And so is listening to the roundtable. Because we're not freaking talking about baseball right now on our emergency pod.
This is what we're
smelling our own farts and navel gazing.
I guess like what is, again, my official stance, you can't make me care about the deferrals. I will say, you want to see a smile on Andrew Friedman's face is ask him about the rules he's gotten changed over the years. I mean, this is a man who once said his like favorite baseball move he ever made was like trading for Rafael Soriano because he turned him into a comp pick subsequently. Like this guy loves achieving surplus value. I guess this rule will be changed. It seemed like a lot of people were just sort of freaking out about it on the internet last night. Whatever.
Well, so like here's a good parallel. All right.
Like the player has to agree to this.
Correct. And that's
so, you know, how many players are going to agree to this moving forward? Okay. Very few, I suspect.
Right. Like, I mean, I feel like there's very few who are sort of in this realm anyway that would be able to defer that kind of money and have it have the material impact on the franchise he's joining. Now, that said, in the English Premier League, Chelsea, who is owned, by the way, by a Dodgers part owner, has become very well known for doing this stuff. So, like,
they love it, man.
In soccer, the typical contract is on the low end, like 1 year, and five at the high end. Even at the highest levels, a 5-year deal is a long deal. All right. This dude shows up last year, starts giving people 7, 8, 9 year deals for the very same reason, because the league has, you know, they have a different name for it, but it's the same effect. They're trying to tamp down spending and extending the deals. Right. While risky because you're stuck with the players, right, is still better for like that navigating that system. So effectively what's gone on is that's happened here because, as Andy has said, you know, Dodgers and deferments go hand in hand. And it's been that way for a while. Freeman, isn't his deal deferred? Betts' deal deferred, right?
And I'm not sure about Freeman. Betts, yes, Betts has deferred.
Okay, so like, but you know, and you said with the Cole offer, correct? Like they had built in these. So it's a tool that they're very comfortable with using. So if the EPL serves as any preview, guess what they did today? They closed the loophole. The teams voted today to get rid of it. Literally today, David Ornstein broke it this morning. Mm. You know, and it falls in line with what UEFA did earlier in the year, like the governing body for Europe, like closed the same. Like they don't want this going on over there. So it's a little bit of it's a slightly different mechanism, but the end result is the same. You're working around systems built to keep the salaries at a certain level.
And another thing that you have to consider with Otani, you know, he's getting $2 million a year. Like, okay, yes, he will be able to afford like a nice home in Simi Valley or whatever. But he's also going to get what, $20 million a year on endorsements?
No, like more than that.
Yeah, stuff
three
that,
times that. I think
stuff that normal players don't have access to, right? So you're not going to go Blake Snell and you're going to say, "Can we defer all your money?" He's like, "Oh yeah, because I'm going to like hawk Nature's Valley granola bars and that's going to pay all the bills." And no, like Blake Snell doesn't have that option. Otani is the one guy who has that option in baseball.
There are baseball players, you know, in other commercials and things like that on occasion, you know, Mike Trout and, you know, Kershaw did the hand-cooked tires commercial, right? You know, so there's other endorsements available, but like most baseball players, when they say like they get sponsored by Nike, right? Or like they're a Nike branded, what that often means is they are getting paid in like store credit. I'm not kidding.
No, I know.
You know, and like, hey, look, like I'd rather have, like I'd love, you know, whatever, $50,000 so I can buy all the Jordans I want or whatever, but that's different between getting cash.
Right? I love my free farmer's dog, you know
so,
what I mean?
So most players do not have access to, I think, you know, it's been written that Otani made $40 million in endorsements last year, and he'll probably make even more playing on a bigger team. Like most, the overwhelming majority don't have access to that sort of bundle. So the money they're getting is their guaranteed contracts. Thank you to Marvin Miller and the union. We are pro labor. Whereas like most players, when they're in the situation, they're not going to want to defer it because they're going to want the money now. So I don't foresee it being a trend unless there is a sort of transcendent once in a generation player who wants to break a record, but also doesn't want to cripple the team that breaks the record. And that is why, like, yeah, they'll probably close this loophole. But, like, you know, it sounded like he was willing to do this for whichever team he played on. It wasn't just like, you know, the Dodgers were thrilled with this arrangement. But it wasn't like this was only going to happen in L.A.
No, they found alignment there, right?
Like,
that's exactly it. Because, like, I think that's a really important point you bring up, Andy, about the Dodgers, that this is also on their end. This is not new. Okay, like this is not something they concocted specifically for this situation.
The first extension offer they made to Clayton Kershaw in 2013 was 15 years, $300 million. And he was like, what? Like, how long? You know, and he was like, no, I don't want to do it. He ended up signing for 7, you know, with an opt-out after 5. But that was how they were thinking about it originally. It's like, your AAV will be $20 million a year. You know, if you get hurt or whatever, like, we'll still pay you the money. Like, through, you know, you don't have to worry about playing to the end of the contract. And, you know, since Guggenheim and Stan Kasten took over, this has been a thing that they have been interested in.
One of my favorite salty takes from some Giants fans that I've read is that when they found out that the deferred money, the taxes will go to wherever he's living at the time, and there's like, ooh, that hurts our kids. It hurts our hurts our schools. Like, you've lost the plot so I much. Do, by that
there,
point.
Yeah, there is. Bay there. Area people say this.
I don't know. Just
I'm so you know, ashamed grasped, of them right now, guys.
Grasping at straws.
There, oh, is, man. I saw a few posts that were like, by the time Otani retires, he's just going to move to Texas or Florida so he doesn't have to pay taxes. The idea that Otani is going to spend his golden years in Boca Raton just to avoid paying taxes on his deferments. I hope it happens. I mean, it sounds like an incredible like second act to his life.
I picture Robert De Niro at the end of Casino. You know, he's got like the big glasses and he's just like reading the paper at the golf course.
he buys a bunch of land in Marfa and just looks at art all day.
We called an emergency pod for this. Is that what we did?
I mean, in some ways, this is like the most, it's the most monumental contract the sport has ever seen. And it has led to some of the most galaxy brain takes imaginable, myself included. Like, I close to ruled out the Dodgers. Not ruled out, but just like, I would always caveat when someone said, well, it's going to be the Dodgers, right? Because I was just trying to think in like, again, in galaxy brain form. Yeah. And sometimes it's just the simple answer.
The sushi restaurant got me. Like, I was like, okay. Like, you're putting these pieces together. You got the private jet. 50, like, what's Kikuchi doing with 50 people? He's celebrating. He's doing.
It sounds like the setup to a bad joke. Doesn't it? The Shark Tank guy, the opera singer, and the pitcher walk into the sushi bar. The bartender says, get the hell out of here. You know what I mean? Like,
But I kind of like how every year there's going to be one team that is so elated for 7 minutes or a day.
Yeah.
After just crushed. Like, that is a trend that's got to keep going. Like, next year, it's got to be Juan Soto to the Cubs. And then,
It is one of the, I wouldn't describe it as a benefit, because I think when journalists produce information that is proven inaccurate, it erodes the public's trust in us, which is a net negative. It's pretty funny.
Pretty funny.
Think some of the takes, some of the navel gazing in the aftermath of all of this was pretty funny.
Yeah.
I think that's funny to me. It'd be like, you know, having a headline that reads stealing hamburgers is bad, and then you click on it and it says buy the Hamburglar. And you're just like, oh, that's interesting. Anyway.
Hey, what's the text? Is it just robble robble? Is it 1,000 words of robble robble?
You know, or let's move on.
Let's move on. There was that's just like
it's next.
Everyone's doing their best, I think.
Yes,
hard job, and you know, it's a hard job, and you know, I've made errors. You know, I've gotten.
I was just joking about the Hamburglar.
I mean, it's hard. It's a, you know, especially for something like this, where when you know, the way that they conducted this free agency, it really put a seal on it. And it created an environment where any bit of news gained a lot of oxygen.
We called this, didn't we, Andy?
Yeah.
We've been saying this for like a good 2 years. That because of the way they operate, it's going to create an environment where imaginations are going to run wild.
Yeah.
And all it takes is to give like a little bit of credence to something that might be plausible if you squint, and it is going to take off. And that is exactly what happened. Like, it was almost as if the industry did not know how to operate in a leak-free world.
Yeah.
They're just looking at like, you know, it'd be like if you took water away. People are just like freaking out. You know, what do you do? Like, anyway, that's what happened to me anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
In my view, I didn't do any of that. But like I said, like from my viewpoint,
well, I think it played out. It allows sort of bad information to get sort of sanded down into, you know, having seeming value because the principals were just not speaking. So who knows? I don't know. We'll find out with Yamamoto if we've learned anything from this.
I think I'm going to spend the next year pivoting to like someone who pretends they have scoops and maybe get like a couple good ones. Like maybe I'll actually get a couple scoops just so I can be the guy next year that causes the maelstrom. Like Blue Jays fans are just sad. And that's funny. Not because I dislike the Blue Jays fans. I went through it with Carlos Correa, where you think something's one way and you're used to I don't know what I'm trying to say. Anyway,
the Blue Jays are in kind of a rough spot. It's funny. I was writing this. We were kind of working ahead on some stuff when, you know, it looked like there was some, you know, there was a lot of Blue Jays smoke, as they say, in the business. And so during that Friday when all the Blue Jays stuff was happening on Twitter, you know, I was like kind of working on this column about just like kind of trying to like put into perspective how few exceptional teammates Otani has had outside of Trout, like how rarely he's played with another great player. Like, for example, like in his six seasons there, an Angels starting pitcher threw 180 innings once, and it was Andrew Heaney who threw 180 on the dot in 2018. And so I was looking at the Blue Jays roster and like, okay, rotation, like much better. Otani's never played with a rotation this good. And then you look at the lineup and you're like, what has become of Vlad Guerrero? What do we make of Kevin Biggio as he enters his age 29 season, you know? And it's like, are they going to trade Bo Bichette? And so I was sort of looking, it's like, okay, well, the Blue Jays are definitely better than the Angels, but like, why is he picking this team? And then the next day he picked the Dodgers.
When do you think he knew that it was the Dodgers? Do you think this was all a charade, or do you think like he was trying to be,
who knows,
convinced, you know, going on and visiting the Giants, visiting the Blue Jays?
I have a really hard time, and this is just with zero information, obviously, because they're a lockbox, but how could you make such a big decision and have it already pre-planned? I think that feels to me like a very difficult concept to kind of accept, especially when you've got somebody who Andy talked about earlier. This is someone who defies convention. He's totally comfortable with it. And in baseball, free agency sort of representation of that. You get to this point where you get to make these decisions. Doesn't strike me as a type that would take that, you know, not seriously, I guess, like, and not approach it like he's got actual choices to make. Like, that would feel weird to me.
Okay, well, let's cut to the chase then. If and when the Dodgers are found guilty of tampering, do they void the contract or are they just fined? Because I think the contract should be voided. All right.
Should contract the franchise, Grant. Yeah, I mean, obviously, that's the answer.
How pissed is everyone going to be when they find out the name of the dog is just like Steven?
God, I hope so. That would be awesome.
Like, this dog's name better be Dodger.
No, it's, I mean, if it's Steven, it's probably after, you know, I don't know.
What would be the most internet crazy name for that dog? What would it, Sandy? Dog?
Puig.
Wow.
Right? All right. This has been episode number 78 of the Roundtable. It was an emergency. We all slid down fire poles, got to our podcasting desks, and we hope you enjoyed it. We will be back next week if there's news. I think we're kind of we're running an option here where if
we don't know,
we're not going to come back and talk more Otani. So if we talk Yamamoto or Snell, or
it's up to all of our fans in baseball front offices. If you want a pod, do something this week.
Yep. Yeah, that's a good point.
Whatever,
that's a good point. If you have ideas,
the same either way.
If you have ideas about the pods that don't involve breaking news, we'd love to have those. You can send them to amcculloch@theathletic.com. but this has been episode 77.
Grant, you're such a dumbass. That's not my email.
Well, it is now. All right. See you then.
I was very wrong.